This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guests are Shannon Wedge, Executive Director, and Norma Dixon with the American Red Cross of South Central and Southeast Kansas. Welcome to Issues 2019. Now, according to my extensive research, the Red Cross idea was born in 1859 when Henry Dunant, a young Swiss man, came upon the scene of a bloody battle in Italy. Its emblem was a red cross on a white background, the inverse of the Swiss flag. Now, the American Red Cross was founded by Clara Barton on May 21st, 1881. And we're going to ask questions, whichever one of you is feels comfortable to answer the question, just take it, okay?
Awesome.
Let's start with the Red Cross. Do you have a mission statement? I guess that would go to you, Shannon.
Yes, yeah, we do. Our mission is to prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and the generosity of donors.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty big blanket. What's the geographic area that's served by the office here in Wichita? Again, that's the South Central and Southeast Kansas. What, do you have three offices in Kansas?
We have three chapters in Kansas.
Okay.
Yes, and we collect blood across the state. But yes, so South Central and Southeast Kansas, we cover 21 counties.
How many people does your office serve in a year's time, you think?
Oh, we collected 48,000 units of blood. We responded to over 340 house fires, and we trained over 11,000 people through our training services programs. So we reach a lot of people through our five lines of service.
11,000 people trained.
Yes.
Which means they can go out and do good things themselves, huh?
Exactly. Right. They are CPR certified and ready to respond.
Of course, Red Cross, well known for its, as you said, blood donations. And you mentioned how many, did you mention how many donations a year? I think.
Well, here in South Central, Southeast Kansas, we collected over 48,000 units of blood.
Okay. Then also with us, of course, is Norma Dixon, and she's in charge of the blood stuff, I guess. This week we've had, you announced you had a little shortage going on. Tell us about that, Norma.
We did. During the holiday season, so over Christmas and New Year's, those 2 weeks, we were unable to collect about 27,000 pints of blood. So that's about 27,000 less than we had planned. And it equates to several hundred blood drives that we were unable to have. And it's just because people are so busy over the holiday season. A lot of businesses are closed and schools are out. So if you think about it, if we're not able to go to businesses or go to schools, which equate for 20% of the donations that we receive, then we're needing to find somewhere else to get them. So we were unable to do that and we need it now.
Do you typically have that many drives during that period?
We do, actually.
What happened this year?
I know. It's pretty typical over the holiday season to see this. So we kind of reach out to the general public to see if people can come in, if anybody's interested in hosting drives. But of course, we have the donation center in downtown Wichita. Or if you know that you're having a blood drive coming up in your area, just make sure that you get out and give.
And let's just sidetrack for just a little bit on a blood drive. Just about anybody can have a blood drive.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
it's
it could
really
be a business
easy.
Or whatever, right?
Right. It's really easy. If you have about 20 people interested in donating, so actually ready to donate, roll up their sleeves, we can come out to you, and you would just call 1-800-RED-CROSS, and they'll get you hooked up with your local representative to come out, make sure either you have a room that's adequate for us, you have the right number of people, or maybe we need to bring our big blood mobile out, which is basically a bus. It's a self-contained unit where we do everything on there.
You recently concluded the annual Battle of the Badges.
We did.
You can explain to us what this is and how it turned out this year.
Sure. So the Battle of the Badges, this was the 24th year for the battle. And basically what it is our local civil servants. So we have the fire department, we have the law enforcement, and then EMS. They compete. Those three different groups compete to see who can get the most votes and bring in the most blood and platelet donors. This year, EMS won. They've been in the battle for the last 5 years, and this was the second year that they won, so they were very, very happy. And they actually won, I think, only by 16 votes, so it was really close.
To be clear, that is not that, say, a police officer or a law enforcement officer goes in, and, of course, that one goes to them, but you're talking about the average donor
right.
can come in and just designate, right?
Absolutely, yep. So we have the departments, the folks in the departments will come in, and they will donate, which is wonderful, and then they are actually helping us spread the word. They go out and do interviews and basically spreading the word and talking to the community to try to get them to come in and sway their votes their way.
You take donations, though, year-round because the need is always there.
Yes.
Are there any peak seasons for the need for blood?
Absolutely. So the need is constant. Every 2 seconds, someone in the United States needs blood. So if you think about that, the amount of time that we're talking here, a lot of people have needed blood. So what the peak times are, though, it's summer and winter, and that's mainly because schools are out of session and people are super busy with vacations. Although the need for blood never takes vacation. It doesn't take a holiday. So on, you know, Christmas Day and New Year's Day, there were people in the hospital who actually needed blood on those days. So it's very important we spread the word.
Well, so your supply, what did you say you have, a 3-day supply? Or?
We have about a 3-day supply right
more?
Now. Yes, we like to keep about a 5-day supply. So if you can imagine, you know, kind of like milk,
okay.
it does expire. It does have an expiration date. Can't keep it around forever.
So if I gave you a pint of blood, I think it was about 1989, is it still on the shelf someplace?
No, it's not. No. And it probably was only on the shelf for a few days.
I mean, did it turn finally into a chalky red looking thing? What's a shelf life?
Sure. It's 42 days. And you can donate blood every 56 days. So even if you donated blood, you know, as frequently as possible, we would still need more. So we still need new donors.
So do you put a label on there that's expiration date like milk and stuff?
Sure. We stamp it. No, I don't know how that part works. But yes, there is an expiration date. Most of it doesn't last that long because we have to get it transfused quicker.
Okay.
And then platelets only have a shelf life of about 5 days, so we have to get those transfused very quickly.
What steps do you take to ensure that donating is safe?
Oh, sure. Well, when you first come in, I'll kind of walk you through the donation process. You register with one of our wonderful volunteers, and they will get you in the computer, make sure you are who you say you are, checking your ID, that sort of thing. And then you'll go into the health history booth, which is where you can answer your health history questions. That's where we ask you things about travel, lifestyle, just different things like that to make sure that you're okay to donate. We're also going to check your iron level, your blood pressure, your temperature, just everything to make sure that you feel good that day and that you're healthy enough to be able to give a pint of blood. And then after that, you go and you get on the bed, the needle's in the arm for about 7 minutes. So it's actually a very short process for donating. And then after that, we take you into the canteen area and you have some cookies and juice and just hang out with our volunteers until you feel better and you're good to go.
So what you're telling me is, like, typically in every venture, the paperwork takes the most time.
The paperwork and the cookies, yeah.
But you can do some advanced, stuff over the
Absolutely.
Internet?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So yeah. We have, it's fairly new, a couple years old. It's called Rapid Pass, and you go to redcrossblood.org/rapidpass, and you can fill out those health history questions. So when you go into the booth and you're answering all those questions on the computer, you can actually do that in the privacy of your own home prior to coming in, and that will save you about 15 to 20 minutes. And then at the end of the questions, it gives you a barcode, and you just bring that barcode in, like on your phone, just take a screenshot of it, something like that. And then as soon as you come in, you can skip all those health history questions. We'll still take your iron and check your blood pressure and that kind of thing, but at least it'll save you about 15 or 20 minutes on those questions.
My family was once involved in a controlled donation.
Yes.
Someone was injured, and two of us were the right type and matched up. But what is that, and why is that something that we do?
So it's a unique situation. Your doctor, if you have a situation where someone is needing blood, you would go to your doctor and talk to them about it, and then they would type match you to make sure that you have exactly what that hospital patient is going to need. And then they would, it's kind of like writing a prescription and saying, hey, we need you to go down to the Red Cross, donate blood. And then they would work with us behind the scenes to make sure that that blood got to that patient. So you had a unique situation. You should be very proud of that.
What is the most popular blood type?
O positive is the most common blood type. And there's about 38% of the population have O positive. So if you think about it, everybody says, oh, well, that's, you know, a lot of people have that type, so you don't need mine. But actually, that means a lot of people going into the hospital have that type as well. So a lot of patients are going to need that type.
So what is plasma?
So plasma's different.
It's not red, is it?
It's not red. What happens is you have whole blood, which is basically four different components. So you have platelets, plasma, red cells, and white cells. And each of the different components does something different for your body. For example, the red cells, they carry the oxygen throughout the body. The plasma is actually the liquid that everything is kind of in. So if you think about it, like the water that everything's transported in. So like platelets and plasma are great because they're clotting factors. So they're great for burn victims or cancer patients, people who just can't replenish that. Red cells are great during surgeries. So people who, you know, maybe going into a surgery, we want to have some red cells available for them. So each component has a different piece to it. So every time you donate blood, you're potentially helping save three lives.
Blood transfusions go back how far? World War II, World War I?
Very far. Yeah, the Red Cross actually it was about in the 1940s is when we developed the American Red Cross Blood Services side. Mm-hmm. And we did that during World War II. The military came to us and asked us to do it. And then after the war was over, we continued it for the American public.
Well, in those days, they have time to blood type. You're on the battlefield or whatever. So what are the repercussions if you don't match types?
It's actually very dangerous. So we have to make sure that we're matching types. We have to make sure that, the doctors are getting everything they need. So we make all types available. And then the doctors are in charge of figuring out, okay, what's going to be best for this patient? And then they come to us and make sure that they receive it.
Do you ever tell any vampire jokes?
You know, I don't.
Shannon does. She's over there. Yeah, did you hear the one about them?
Right.
No, that would not be good. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guests are Shannon Wedge, Executive Director, and Norma Dixon with the American Red Cross of South Central and Southeast Kansas. It is a serious topic, but I'll lighten it up a little bit. Well, who can donate blood? It's not just anybody, right?
Almost anybody.
Almost anybody.
Yeah. Only a small percentage of the population actually donate, but you just have to be 16 years old with written parental consent. As soon as you turn 17, we don't need that written consent. And then you have to be 110 pounds and in general good health. So if you're feeling well the day of, then you should be good. Get in there, get your iron tested, just make sure that everything's good. And as long as you pass those initial tests, you should be good.
Well, of course, the Red Cross does many, many other things. I want to talk about first about disaster assistance. And I guess, Shannon, are you going to tell us about disaster assistance?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we respond. The number one disaster that we respond to is house fires. But obviously, if there's a tornado or flooding, we're going to respond to those situations as well. 37 individuals from our chapter have deployed since July 1st to national deployments to help with the hurricanes and the wildfires in California. So people are not only helping here in Kansas, they are going across the country and internationally to help with disasters.
Typically, what do? Do they have to drive their own vehicle? Do you have a vehicle for them to take to another state? Tell us about that a little bit.
We fly them out.
Yes.
We get them there as quickly as we can. 90% of our workforce is our volunteers. So they are the people that are manning the shelters and feeding and doing all of the things that you see on the news.
And we in the newsrooms and listen to the police scanners. I've got one right here, and many times on a house fire locally, because the living quarters are now, nobody can live in there. It's just smoky. It's burned up or whatever. They will say, we need Red Cross assistance. And you guys are out there in a flash, two adults and four children, something like that. But that's one of the great things you do. Now, when you go out there and you gather these folks up who need help, what kind of help do they get from a fire scene?
Yeah, we help with temporarily to get them stable. So to find them stable housing, whether that be a hotel or they go stay with a family member, food, make sure that they have their medications and clothing. So those immediate needs is what we help those individuals with.
Okay, what kind of, like most people I interview on this weekly show, you make extensive use of volunteers. You mentioned that a moment ago. So what kind of volunteer training do you provide?
We provide a lot of training. Some of it's online, some of it's within our chapter. They can come in and we'll hold a very specific training. But people can start the volunteer process at redcross.org, and you start your volunteer application, and we do background checks, and we start you down that path.
Okay. So you don't have to be a genius or anything.
No.
There's always always something somebody can do. Huh?
Exactly. We guide you the entire way and give you the tools to go out and deploy and to help people.
Let's talk about educational efforts. How can I learn to do CPR? I mean, we could probably do that right now, but it wouldn't sound very good on radio.
No.
It'd be a lot of thumping and moaning and, well, never mind. What? How can I learn to do CPR, Chef?
Well, we have classes here in Wichita at 707 North Main.
Sure.
But the classes that we offer here in our chapter office are adult and pediatric first aid, CPR, and AED training. And then we also have first aid, CPR, and AE instructor training. So you can actually come in and train to be an instructor. And then we also teach basic life support for healthcare providers here in town.
Is there a certificate you can get?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You're so certified, and then we will make sure that you have that certification that you can show people.
I bet you train a lot of people who are lifeguards. And swimming pools, people like that, right?
Yeah. So we also have a lot of classes online. So that's one of them that is offered online, along with babysitting basics, first aid for severe bleeding, opioid training is a new one. So we offer a lot online, too, to make it convenient for people to get that training.
So tell me about babysitter training. I mean, I've got two granddaughters that are 12, and they think they want to babysit, but I don't think they've gotten a job yet.
Right.
How much should they charge? No, that's not part of it.
I can tell you what my 13-year-old makes.
And really?
She would like to make a little bit more.
they're all like that. So what's involved in that? Just, can you teach a 12-year-old what to do?
Yeah. There's no minimum age for our regular courses. For our instructor courses to become a certified instructor, it's 18 years of age. But with the babysitting, no, there's no minimum age. And many rec centers teach the babysitting classes, too. So check with your local rec center for your kids as well.
Educational opportunities. Of course, let's talk about schools. Do you work in the schools? What do you do in the schools?
We do. We do preparedness within the schools. We have what's called a pillowcase project. It's for third through fifth graders. And we go out and we teach them preparedness, what to do if there is a home fire, a tornado, and they actually decorate a pillowcase. And they draw on there what they need in their first aid kit, what they need in their preparedness kit. So we hopefully are creating that excitement that they go home and talk to their parent or guardian about, is our home safe? Are our smoke alarms working? And what's our fire escape plan?
You know, when I was in high school, we had club day. I think it was like every other Thursday or something. And there was Red Cross Club was active at high school where I was where I went to school. I used that time usually to go to a local pool hall. But are those chapters still active?
Yes, we have Red Cross Clubs.
Well, what do they do other than, okay, we learned CPR this week. What do we do next week?
Right. Well, in the high schools and colleges, they help with our blood drives. They're a huge advocate for our blood drives, so that's very important. But they'll come and volunteer.
Okay.
So still alive and well.
Okay. What other programs are you offering? I've got time for you to tell me about anything else you're doing.
So. Service to the Armed Forces. We support our military and their families here locally, McConnell and the VA hospital. So that's another program. And
kind of support do you give them?
Well, we work in the pharmacy.
Oh, okay.
We help with the healthcare clinic at the VA hospital. We do trainings for them. We also, if there's an emergency situation, they will call us, and then we verify that maybe a baby's being born and there was a death in the family, and then we get back to the commanding officer to verify that situation is happening within the family and to get them back here for those events.
And other programs you have? Anything else you want to mention?
International services is another one, yes. Yeah. And then we've mentioned them all. But we need volunteers across all lines of service. We need people to drive blood. It's all volunteer blood drivers that transport the blood, pick it up, and take it to our testing center.
Who are most of these people? Are they volunteers? Are they retirees? Or are there people who can fashion some time for you out of their daily lives?
Right. A lot of them are retirees, but we also have a handful of young people that respond to those disasters. They'll be on call. We are on call 24/7, so they will, you know, put that they're available in the middle of the night to go to respond to a house fire.
All right, somebody wants to get involved, what should they do?
They can go to redcross.org and start their volunteer process. And then we have volunteer recruiters that will help you through the entire process. So if you get stuck on a step, they're there to help you.
Well, what about if I just wanted to give you, say, some money, would you do that? Could you take money?
Yes.
Is that...
Of course.
An expression.
I will take your
expression.
Money. Yes.
An expression.
Get your checkbook out, Steve, okay?
My basic personality is I'm quite lazy, but it doesn't take much to write a check. So tell us about that.
Yes. So we always say that we want your time, your money, and your blood. We would like all three, but they're all equally important. But yes, we have great corporate sponsors in the community and individual donors that help us fulfill our mission every day. So people, we got a new blood mobile a couple years ago that was funded entirely by donations from the residents of Kansas.
Really?
And our companies here. So there's many opportunities to fund capital projects, to actually pay for things, and to just help us with our overall day-to-day expenses.
Do you have any special promotions, fundraisers? Do you have the Red Cross Golf Tournament or the bowling tournament? What have you got? Tell
we
me
do. We have a Heroes Breakfast that
we hold in December.
Yes. It is an inspirational event where we honor local heroes. This year, for instance, we honored a police officer who he was out on patrol and came upon a woman who was actually on fire. And so we honored him, a local grandma who pulled her two grandsons out of the burning home.
Wow.
And saved their lives. So it's quite an inspirational event to attend, and we raise money at the same time.
Shannon, what are the biggest challenges you face in your chapter here in South Central Kansas?
I would say right now our biggest challenge is our volunteers. We just need more volunteers. And, I mean, I say Sedgwick County, but in all 21 counties.
Yeah, you got 21 counties.
Looking down in southeast Kansas and in other areas, we really need those volunteers that can go out and respond to the house fires and the other disasters.
So what are the biggest personal, professional payoffs? Why do you do this work? I ask that question.
Yeah. It is amazing to go down. I mean, we've been doing a lot of media interviews this week for blood, but to go and hear why people donate, and I know that I've had family members and friends that have personally donated, benefited from the blood donation. So to know that and to see that, it's very rewarding. And to hear these stories, I mean, how someone saved a life.
How about you, Norma?
Oh, it's the same thing. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've met so many people who have received blood, who are blood and platelet recipients over the years. And to hear their story and how refreshed they feel after they receive it, it's amazing. And to go, you know, if you're at a disaster and there's a house fire, and just to be able to give someone a hug and know that it's helping, and give them a bottle of water and a fresh blanket, something like that. So it's seeing those people out there that we're really impacting.
Several years ago, it was the last time I donated blood. They said my alcohol level in the blood was quite high. But no, I'm kidding. But they had Sloppy Joes at that time.
They did,
and they were I don't know what she did, but she had a secret ingredient that made it. And I think I must have had about 7 or 8 of those right after I gave blood. You don't do Sloppy Joes anymore.
We don't do the Sloppy Joes now, but I can sneak you the recipe. And I can also tell you that secret ingredient is chicken gumbo soup. You wouldn't believe it, but it is.
I got to write that. That sounds like that would,
if that's all it's going to take to get you to donate again, I'll make it for you.
Well, you know, I have to be induced some way.
Right.
No. Y'all are doing good work, as always. The Red Cross has been an institution here in America and around the world for many, many years, and it takes a lot of hard work to get this done. Again, if they want to anybody wants to contact you, tell us how to do that real quick.
You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can go to redcross.org for training classes, or you can go to redcrossblood.org, and you can sign up to donate blood.
Now, if you want us to donate blood, it's not one of those things. You don't have to have an appointment necessarily.
You don't. No, walk-ins are welcome. We're at 707 North Main, which is right next to the fire station on Main and Murdoch in downtown Wichita.
Shannon, anything exciting on the agenda this year? Something new that you want to tell us about, like if you've got a brand new building or something?
No, we do not have a brand new building. We are remaining at 707 North Main. But something exciting that will be happening at the end of April through May is the Sound the Alarm campaign. We will go out and we will install smoke alarms in homes to ensure that everybody has a working smoke alarm. So last year we had a signature event here in Wichita, and this year we will have one in Topeka. But we will still be doing events here locally. I know we're doing one in Derby, and we're doing several in Southeast Kansas. So
this is either free of charge that you install?
Yes. Okay. And last year our chapter installed over 1,700 smoke alarms and made those homes safer.
It could very well be that saved a life or two.
Oh, yes. The Red Cross is starting nationally to document that, and we've documented over 475 lives have been saved with the smoke alarm.
What's it called?
It's a Sound the Alarm campaign. It's our national campaign.
All right. Thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate it. And as always, and thank you for doing your good work in our community. Our guests this week on Issues 2019, Shannon Wedge, Executive Director, and Norma Dixon with the American Red Cross of South Central and Southeast Kansas. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to Issues 2019.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.